This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show, hour number two. It is 5 o'clock here in the Bayou City. All right, let's run down to Port O'Connor and check in with our good friend, Captain Lynn Smith, see what he's up to. Good morning, Lynn. How you doing?
Well, pretty good. I guess your bay must have been empty because I think everybody moved down to here.
Your backyard.
Yes, they did. I've never seen this many people down here before.
Really?
Oh, my goodness. It was incredible. Good grief. I mean, what a crowd. Unbelievable.
Biggest fishing weekend of the year, man.
Oh, good grief. It was incredible. It really was. I've never seen this many people here. I really haven't. I mean, it was a zoo. It was a zoo. And we even had a shark bite down here.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
I've been wondering when I was going to hear about one, because there's so many of them right now. I mean, in sharks, they don't swim around looking for people to bite, but it's going to happen.
No.
There's so many of them now. And
so many people
in the water these days.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, and everybody's got their fish on the stringers, and, you know, they come floating up next to you. And,
was it a fisherman that got bit?
Yep, yep. Well, you know, he had his fish on the stringer, and they floated up next to him, and that shark was after those fish. I think bit him on the leg, I guess, but anyway, it happens, you know. We got so many sharks in the bay right now. It's incredible.
Oh, no.
It really is. I mean, it's always been a problem, but it's really gotten to be a problem now.
Yeah, Hillman sent me a video the other day. He just happened to be videoing this guy was catching a fish, and he was just videoing it, and shark eats it, bit it off right behind the head. And so the guy picks the head up out of the water, and Hillman said, just dangle it back down, let him have the rest of it. And he starts dobbing it up and down on the surface of the water, and that bull shark came back and took it. Just kaboom.
Just inhaled it, huh?
Yeah.
And
it's just nuts how many of them there are.
Oh, man. Yeah, I had a skipjack on the other day, and you know, a shark was the last thing I had on my mind. And I had this skipjack on, and I'm kind of just fighting him, you know, and he's jumping, and he got within about 10 feet of the boat, and a shark came up and just inhaled that skipjack.
Good Lord.
And I had him on for about 5 or 6 seconds, you know. But, oh, my goodness. And he was a pretty good one, too. Oh,
man.
Oh, man. That was something. But this has been one heck of a weekend, I'll guarantee you that.
Oh,
with all the
has,
floods,
man,
and everything.
That hill country, you know, Central Texas thing is just...
When I went to pick my daughter up in Fort Worth, when I went to pick her up at my my ex-wife's house, they were getting her granddaughter ready, and they were loading her up and taking her to the bus to load her up to go to the camp in Kerrville.
Right.
And she went to that camp, went to one of those camps, and she was lucky. But they got her home yesterday.
Oh, man.
She was real lucky. Real, real lucky. But, it was scary. Scary there for a while.
Yeah, and what's all the rescue efforts underway and everything, and, you know, it's
devastating. Devastating, yeah. You know, I used to go to a friend of mine's ranch when I was in high school. We used to go every Thanksgiving. His grandparents had a bunch of land in Hunt, Texas, and we'd go there every Thanksgiving deer hunting. And, you know, we'd go through, go down through about, I think, three or four low water bridges to get to their place. And one Thanksgiving, we got stranded at his ranch because we couldn't get out because of the floods. And we were stuck there at that ranch. I mean, it's
that's
just
probably the same year Vaughn and his dad up, you know, there in the DeHaenys and Hondo area. They were at their, their leash, and I think it was around Thanksgiving time, maybe the same time you're talking about. And they, you know, there were so many low water crossings coming out of there, but it really wasn't that much rain, but it was just enough to bring the water up, you know, because the runoffs, everything's limestone and rock practically, and there's no saturation. And they the last day they had enough coffee left for one more pot, and all they had was a bag of beans to eat. And they had to eat beans for 2 days and drink coffee.
Yeah, it was. Well, we had to go over to a neighboring rancher to get food. We did.
Crazy, man.
Yeah, food and water. Oh yeah,
can't believe
it was. Oh,
at least
man,
they were up on
then.
A hill. You know, they were on a high ground.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, same with us. But I'll never forget that. We pulled up to his ranch house, which wasn't a very big ranch house, pretty small. And there was a 8-point buck, had his horns hung in the fence. And he tried to go under the fence and hung his horns. All he had to do was back out, you know, but he was trying to go through. And, oh, he was bellowing, you know, and, oh, man, he was trying to get through there. And we were on the back side of the fence, you know, and I got out of the truck. I walked up there to him, boy, and he was bellowing. And I just grabbed his horns and pushed him through, you know, pushed him through back out of the fence. Boy, and he stumbled and staggered and took off, boy. Took off running. He was a young 8-point. But, that was something. That year we had it was funny. His dad told us, he said, y'all go over to the neighboring rancher and get some corn to fill the feeders. So we got in a Jeep, and there was four of us, and, we got in the Jeep and we were driving over to the neighboring rancher, and we saw this buck standing there with he had four does with him, and we stopped, and I had the only rifle with us, and I looked at that buck, and he was a nice 8-point. He had real tall horns and pretty wide, and looked at him, and they said, "You want to shoot him?" I said, "No, I don't think so," because every year we'd go to that ranch, and everybody would get one deer. And it better be a good one, because you're going to have to hear about it all year long, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, anyway, I turned him down, and I passed the rifle to another guy, and he looked at him, and he said, no, I'm a pass. And everybody turned that deer down. And we hunted for 4 days, and nobody saw a deer as good as that one was, you know. Never fails. Bird in the hand, man.
Or two in the bush, man.
That's right. That's exactly right. That was a good deer, boy. I can still see him. I can still remember it, man. That was a good deer. Oh, man. We should have got that one.
Wow.
But never fails. Never fails. And I got it on Ron Elkins and I got it on a ranch out of Encinal one time. And we had some hunters that flew in from, like, Pennsylvania or somewhere. And we had them at the rifle range. And we were shooting them in, and there was a buck, a 10-point, big chocolate horn 10-point, chasing a doe back and forth across the rifle range while we're shooting these guys in. And I said, hey, guys, somebody ought to shoot this deer. I mean, look at him. I mean, he was heavy horn, chocolate horn buck.
Yeah.
And they passed him up because they had just gotten there. And they saw, oh, man, we just got here, you know. And nobody shot that deer, and nobody got one in 3 or 4 days that was as good as that deer. I mean, that was a good heavy horn 10-point chocolate horn buck, and they should have taken him. I guarantee you. Bird in the hand, man.
Yeah,
bird in the hand. But he was running that doe back and forth across that rifle range. It was funny.
Yeah, you know, that happens a lot when people book hunts the first day. They'll see a really good deer. It's on the first hunt, and they don't want to shoot
it. Oh, yeah.
And,
no.
Then they spend the rest of the time, they they make all the extra hunts, and they don't see anything that come close to that deer. Man, if you see one and it catches your eye and it's a really good buck, take it, whether it's the first hour of your hunt or not, you know, take it.
Oh, I see it happen all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. Yeah. Well, you know, it's just common sense. I mean, it happens so much, but, man, I tell people, hey guy, that's a real good deer and you need to shoot that deer. And the guy will say, you think so? I go, I know so. Shoot him, you know, take that deer. That's a good buck, you know. And I had a guy that was going to shoot a management deer one time, and a big 8-point walked out, heavy horned 8. And I said, you need to take that deer right there. That's a really good management buck. And he said, you think so? And I said, yes, yes. You know, go ahead and shoot that deer. That's a good deer. And the deer just meandered off, you know, down to Sendero and kind of meandered off into the brush. And the guy did not shoot him. And I just shook my head. Well, the next day, another one came out, a different one, and wasn't as good, wasn't quite as good as that other one was. Well, he finally, I just talked him into shooting that one. And it was a good deer, but not as good as the one the day before.
Yeah.
And we went down there, and I picked his horns up, and I said, man, that's a nice deer. And it was about a 135, you know, something like that, which was a decent 8-point. And I said, is that the best buck you've ever killed? He said, well, it's the only one I've ever killed.
Well, yeah,
well, he didn't know
the best. Yeah.
He didn't know what he was looking at the day before, you know, and the one he looked at the day before was about a 140, you know, 145. Yeah. And, I mean, it was a good deer, good chocolate horn deer that you turned down.
A lot of people hunted a long time and never shot one that big.
No. But, man, oh man, he should have taken that deer, guarantee you. It's like I can still see this one deer one morning. We were guiding out of Encinal down there on a ranch, and it was a foggy morning. I can see it like it was today. And there was a buck came out behind the feed pen, and he was about 26 or 27 inches wide.
Good Lord.
Real wide buck. And I love those real wide ones.
Yeah, I wish I could get
me. He was 9 points. He was 9 points. But he came out real wide like that, and the customer turned him down because he was only 9 points. I said, good grief, man, look at this buck. Look at this deer. He wanted a 10 or a 12. And I said, but look at this deer. And he turned him down. I said, oh,
been on my wall.
Oh, I guarantee you.
I promise.
Guarantee you.
Jeez.
Oh, man. Yeah, just, oh, it's frustrating, you know.
It is. You can lead a horse to water.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right. Yeah, buddy.
One time.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Go ahead and see if we'll have the taxidermist glue another tying on there for you, bud. I mean, geez.
Yeah, yeah. How many drop tines you want on this deer?
Yeah. Just load him up.
They can put them on him, I guarantee you.
Man.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah.
Let me knock this break out, Lynn. I'll come right back at you, buddy. Hang with me.
All right, man.
All right, dog. All right. Well, if you're looking for the ultimate outdoor adventure, welcome to Rusty Hook Ranch, a premier hunting and fishing destination. It's right in Matagorda, Texas. Whether you're after waterfowl, quail, thermal hog, or even alligator hunts, Rusty Hook Ranch has it all. And don't forget about their top-tier Matagorda Bay fishing charter. So bring your friends, your clients. Let the boys at Rusty Hook Ranch take care of everything from five-star lodging, skeet shooting and sporting clays, to a fully stocked bass pond. Your weekend here, it'll be one you won't soon forget. So if you need a place for team building, family reunions, weddings, or other events, Rusty Hook Ranch can sleep large groups of up to 40 and host events for up to 300 people. So why wait? Experience the best of Texas at Rusty Hook Ranch. Book your adventure today at RustyHookRanch.com. That's RustyHookRanch.com. Tell them Captain Mickey sent you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. All right. It is 5:18 here in the Bayou City. All right, Lynn, we're back, my friend.
Yeah, I think all these idiots come to town and they come here to pop their fireworks, you know. And we've had to kind of calm them down in the past, you know. I live on a dead-end street, and they'll come here and they rent a house, and then they think they can rent a house and pop fireworks and shoot the rockets in the air and all that.
Right.
And you just know they're going to burn the houses down, you know. and oh my goodness, you have to go down there and talk to them and say, guys, use a little common sense here, man. You know, find some place else to shoot fireworks.
Man, it sounded like World War III out my way night before last.
Oh it did, gracious. Yeah. It was the same way here.
And I mean, it went on till 12:30.
Oh, my goodness.
1 o'clock, I'm going, man, are they ever going to run out of money?
Yeah.
Those things are expensive these days. I mean, they're not shooting just little bottle rocket stuff. I'm talking about big-time stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, those things are expensive. And, yeah, the same deal here. They shot a lot of money up in there, I guarantee you.
Well, it was a patriotic 4th of July, I can tell you that, man.
Oh, man.
They were showing off. It was good stuff.
They were. Yeah, they were showing it off all right. But luckily, they didn't burn any houses down over here.
No, I didn't hear anything. Man, did you see before 4th of July, you see the videos of that one fireworks warehouse blowing up?
Yes,
that was unbelievable. And then there was another one before that happened the day before that one went off, where somebody lost control of a car and ran up in a fireworks warehouse, and it lit it off, and oh, man.
Oh.
Man, I guess when you have all those fireworks in one building and it goes off, you better run.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's crazy.
Break out the bunker busters. My God.
Man, I'm telling you. Yeah. You think that left a hole in the ground?
It had to.
Man.
It probably blew the slab out of the ground and all that stuff was sitting on. But that one had burned houses down next to it in the neighborhood.
Oh, I bet. Oh, my goodness. Yep. Well, anyway, I hope everything will settle down here this week. I'm supposed to head down to Florida and go snook fishing.
Yeah, it's getting time for your trip.
Yeah, well, we're leaving on the 10th and going down there to fish with Ward.
Right.
So hopefully
Ward
the weather will settle down. Yeah,
he still holds the world record, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah. I think that'll hold for a long time. That snook weighed a little over 69 pounds.
Common
that's
snook.
Hard to believe.
Where's
Man, that's hard to believe
here?
In. That's a monster.
It is.
You know, I looked the picture of that snook, and I mean, that thing doesn't even look like a snook. It looks like a drum or something. It's so big. Oh, my goodness. That thing's huge. I can't imagine catching one that big. Biggest one I ever caught was about 25, but... I mean, that's big snook monster.
Yeah, the Texas record on a common snook, that's held since 1937.
Man.
A guy named Lewis Raywalt caught it. It just says Gulf of Mexico, January of 1937.
And what did it weigh?
57 and a half pounds, 57.50.
Oh, my goodness. I think I sent you that picture of that one they picked up on our beach over here after the freeze.
I remember that. I remember you sending me that. That was
my goodness,
gorilla.
That was a big snook.
Yeah, it was.
You know, I mean, we've got some here, you know, scattered, and
right.
You know, we've got a few, but very few. One friend of ours, he scuba dives every once in a while. I mean, he'll go out the jetties and go down, pick up anchors and stuff like that. And he said, you'll be amazed how many snook are down there.
Yeah.
And you'd be surprised.
But, and there's a lot more of them. The farther south you go, the more common they are, you know, because
that's right.
You know, it doesn't ever get cold enough to kill them.
That's right.
Like
yeah,
it does
one of my customers.
Way.
One of my customers caught one. It was 23 inches, but caught it on top water one day. And I had a customer one day. The wind was blowing about 35 miles an hour, you know, and so we were over ran up a creek and get out of the wind and. So one customer was up on my bow and he had his legs dangling off my bow and we had live shrimp and just trying doing everything to catch some fish. Well,
yeah,
he was throwing live shrimp up there off the bow and I was re-rigging a guy that broke off and I heard this splashing up there and I said, we got a little trout. And he said, I don't know what it is. And he reeled it up and it was a snook. Uh-huh. It was about a 20 inch snook.
Right.
I said, that's a snook. He said, a what? He didn't know what it was. So we have them every once in a while, you know, but, they're around, but they're not real prevalent.
Oh,
but,
when I fished in Florida those few times, you know, tournament fishing over there, my gosh, we're around all of, you know, mangroves and the mangrove islands and all that. And every time you get to the end of one where the current would wash it out and there was like a deep hole by a bar by the mangroves there, you could look down in there and you'd always see at least one giant one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I was down there one time and I had these two guys that were over to my left and I hooked a pretty big one and he turned and ran toward them and then he turned and ran toward the mangroves and I couldn't turn him. I just could not turn this snook. And I tightened down my drag. And they said, you better turn him. He's heading toward the mangroves. And I said, I can't turn him. I mean, man, what can I say? And a Ward was standing between me and them. And that snook ran around Ward's legs and wrapped around his legs and broke off.
Oh, boy.
But he was a big one. He was a big snook. Yeah. But, they head for those mangroves, man. They're pretty smart.
Yeah. And that's where we had to get those reds. And, man, you had to skip that bait up under, you know, those underlying branches and everything and get it back in there. And you just take a gulp shrimp and just skip it up under there and just let it sit on the bottom, dead stick it, and wait till one swam by and ate it and hope the right one would eat it, you know. They just swim around those islands up and down underneath all that cover. Boy, it was a nightmare fishing like that.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, I had some guys here one day talking about that Gulf shrimp. I had some guys here that I just stopped right by the shoreline and had grass along the shoreline and I was rigging these guys up and I rigged this one guy up with a Gulf shrimp and I cast up right along the grass and I said, just leave it there until I get these other guys rigged up. And he said, okay. And next thing I know, I looked over and boy, he was all bowed up, you know. And I said, you got one? He went, yeah, I got one. And heck, he had like a 30-inch red.
Yeah.
Well, that 30-inch red picked up that gulp shrimp, you know, picked it up off the bottom.
You know, that's the best way to really fish for them in Trinity Bay when, you know, it gets all messed up with fresh water like it is now. You can just put a 3/8 ounce jig head on and fish deep. Fish it right along the bottom. And those redfish will just gobble it up. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
That scent, you know, they just.
Oh, yeah.
Chocolate milk, fresh water.
Oh, yeah. They
funny
go after
how that
it.
Fresh water doesn't, You know, and it doesn't bother the big reds or any size red, really, basically. And it doesn't bother the bull sharks. Those
no, little, it doesn't.
You know, 2 to 4 foot bull sharks are by the hundreds in all that fresh water.
Oh, man. It
doesn't
know.
Bother them a bit. You know, I know so many guys that catfish in the back of the bay when it gets fresh like this. The current runs so hard that they have to get out on the flats in the bay to target the catfish. And you wouldn't believe all the bull reds and bull sharks they catch while they're catfishing. It's crazy.
Oh, my goodness.
Let's cut away.
Man, oh, man.
You get bit in that muddy water, you know, because they can't see as good in it. That's that would not be good wading in that mess.
No. No, I don't like that.
It doesn't seem to bother stingrays either. You know, stingrays, that fresh water doesn't deter them either.
No. No, it doesn't. No, but I saw old Jody Norris here a while back, and, you know, he finally recovered from a stingray wound.
Boy,
and,
that was a bad one. God, that was
That
bad.
Was a real bad one. That was a real bad one. And, you know, he wears stingray guards now.
I bet
he does wear the guards. Yes, he does. Yeah. And I guarantee you, that's a good reminder, you know. That's like putting on a bulletproof vest after you've been shot, you know. But, man.
It still hurts.
When he got hit, when he got hit down there in the Chandeliers, I asked him, I said, obviously you weren't wearing Ray guards. He said, no, but they are in my future. I said, I bet they are. I bet they are. Yeah, buddy. Well, back when old Paul Perrin came out with those walking wades, remember
walking
that?
Walking wades, yeah.
And old James Maston. I fished with James, you know, way back there. And James called me and he said, hey, he said, have you seen any walking wades that Paul Perrin came out with? And I said, yeah, I saw that. He said, we need to get a pair. I said, you think so? He said, well, how long have you been wade fishing? I said, well, all my life. I mean, you know. He said, yeah, me too. And we've never been hit. Well, we're way overdue. Way overdue.
Well,
you're right.
There's those that have been hit and the ones that are going to get hit.
That's right.
Enough time in the water.
That's right. I was talking to one of the guys here a while back, and he said he got hit when he was surfing. And he stepped off his surfboard and stepped on a ray, and it hit him on the bottom of the foot.
The bottom,
came
huh?
up and hit the bottom of his foot. Yeah. It was a small ray. It nailed him on the bottom of his foot. Now, you know that had to hurt. You know how tender the bottom of your foot is. Yeah. So, you know. Oh, man. That's got to smart pretty good.
I wonder if it's runoff, any of this, you know, coming from these rivers and this flood are going to, well, they'll, what river is that dumps in right there at in San Antonio Bay?
Well, Guadalupe and San Antonio.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Guadalupe and the San Antonio Bay, they go together.
Right.
And they dump into San Antonio Bay. Yeah.
I think you wouldn't get that much down here because of all the lakes on the way through that river that need to fill up.
Yeah. Well,
I know it was
dry. I know Lake Travis needed some water. It's almost dry.
You know, I saw a deal come up on the TV a while ago where Abbott said that they've already rescued over 550 people.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. One Coast Guardsman rescued 162, something like that.
Huh.
High water rescues, that's unbelievable.
That is.
That's crazy.
They're getting plenty of practice.
Well, I'm
plenty
you.
Of practice anyway. Man.
You guys are... And I bet none of them have been asleep since they've been there. Pretty nuts, man.
Man. I saw a deal on Facebook of Stan Floyd that owns American Airboats out of Orange, Texas. He was posted a deal. He was on his way there, on his way to Kerrville with airboats, you know, for rescue.
Well, that'll be hard to do until that water slows up a little bit. That current gets running so hard.
Oh, yeah.
I remember when the San Jacinto River, that one big flood they had, and all the rescues trying to go on, and they were just having just, it was just almost impossible to operate a boat in that current. It was running so strong. That was that flood that when the river caught on fire. It's pretty crazy. Let me knock this break out, Lynn. I'll be right back at you, buddy.
All right. Hang
on. All right. Well, Boyd's One Stop. They're the home of the supercharged, super slimy powerhouse croakers. They're located right at the base of the Texas City Dyke at 227 Dyke Road. And, folks, if you're looking for quality live bait for your next fishing trip, look no further than Boyd's. From their tanks to your live well, that bait's as good as it can possibly be. There's no better way to live your bait or your tournament fish than with their oxygen response system. You can check them out firsthand there at the store, and they have them on display, all their regulators, diffusers. They even refill your bottles there at the store. If you need more info, call Jason Cogburn at 281-701-8107. And when you're by the store, check out all their specials they have on shrimp. Their wild-caught Gulf shrimp, no farm-raised at Boyd's. If you're looking for the big 9-12s or whatever count you like, they've always got them. Great price, great availability. And their Cajun grill, whether it's there at the store or their Santa Fe location, they turn out some really good food at great prices. Call them at 409-945-4001 or check them out at boydsonestop.com. And when you do, please tell them Captain Mickey sent you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 537 here in the Bayou City. All right, Lynn, we are back. I had a listener send me a message, text message, wanted to know if you've heard of any Vibrio this year yet down your way.
I haven't yet, but I would imagine it'll really, we'll start to hear about it now.
Yeah, because all these water temperatures are 87, 88, 89. It's getting hot, brother.
Oh, I'm telling you. And with all this flood water and everything, this is when it really happens. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, all these, all this water coming off these ranches and everything. This seems like this is when it really happens.
Man, do you see some of the videos, all these dead fish left on the bank after the river's gone down?
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Oh, it is. It is. Yeah. So, this is when Vibrio really pops up, seems like.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, you know, theorize that a lot of it has to do with the chemicals off the ranches or
Well, just in the watershed, period, you know, from all the runoff.
Yeah, yeah.
It is crazy.
And it could be. It could be. But who knows? Who knows? But, that's Vibrio has been around forever. But if your immune system is down.
It's a lot more prevalent these days.
Yes, it is. If your immune system's down, you know, it's going to affect you, no doubt about it. If you're a diabetic, you know, especially if you're a diabetic, then it's going to affect you for sure. But when I went in, I was renewing my Coast Guard license one year, and I'll never forget. The Coast Guard guy says, well, how's your diabetes? I said, I'm not diabetic. He said, well, why are you taking this particular medicine? I said, well, I don't know. My doctor has me taking it. He said, well, that's for diabetes. I said, well, I'm not diabetic. You know, well, come to find out, one particular pill I took was for high blood pressure, but it's also for diabetes. Mm-hmm. And, so I had my doctor write a letter saying that, you know, I'm not diabetic, but that was for high blood pressure. Yep. And so anyway, he wrote this letter and sent it to the Coast Guard and all that. Anyway, he finally said, all right, I'm taking him off of that medicine, you know, period.
Yeah.
Put him on something else. Well, this went all the way to Hawaii, to Coast Guard. And finally, they said, Coast Guard said, okay, we'll issue your license. But if your diabetes comes back within 90 days, you have to notify us. I said, no problem.
Yeah, like I'm really going to, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Best
I said,
thing
no problem.
Just tell them you're not on any medication. You try to be honest, and then, boy, it's, you know, it's...
Oh, yeah.
Well, you're dealing with the federal government there, bud. Good luck.
Oh, I know it. I know it. So, anyway, that was crazy. I thought, man, they're not going to issue me my license. But they did, finally. But it was I thought it was a problem, you know. And, well, I mean, they were getting real serious about it.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But they did. So, anyway, that was... God, that was about six or seven years ago when that happened. But, man, crazy, crazy. But anyway, I got my license.
Well, that's all that matters.
Which is a lot more than a lot of people can say. I think there's still a lot of people running around and don't have a license. But I'm sure there are.
There's still a lot of that going on, you think?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, well, they're living on borrowed time.
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah,
you know,
I get caught. It's not pretty.
No. Mm-mm. You know, I think I told you about when I got stopped one time in the middle of the Intercoastal, and I had three Hispanic guys on my boat that were working for a construction company. And they Coast Guard checked them, and Coast Guard said, well, I'm going to have to retain this one guy.
Uh-oh.
I said, okay. Okay. And so they said, we're going to borrow one of your life jackets. I said, okay. And they said, you can follow us over to the Coast Guard station and get your life jacket back. I said, okay. Well, they put my life jacket on him, and then they handcuffed him.
What, did he have a warrant on him or something?
I don't know. But they handcuffed him and put the life jacket on him. And in the meantime, when they're doing all this, all my buddies, my guide buddies, are passing me. headed back to the ramp, and they're looking, you know, and seeing this.
And, what is Lynn out here doing today, man?
yeah. So, anyway, I go to the Coast Guard station, get my life jacket back. I head back to Clark's over there, and I pull up there to the fish cleaning table, and they said, "Hey, was the Coast Guard harassing you?" I said, "Well, no. They did take a guy off my boat in handcuffs," and and they said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah." They said, "Who was it?" I said, "Well, I think it was El Chapo."
El Chapo. Yeah.
They said, "Really?" I said, "No." I said, "I don't know." But they did take him off in handcuffs. But no telling.
They didn't tell you why or anything, huh?
No. Uh-uh. But they ended up taking him to Corpus, federal court. But last I heard. So no telling what it was.
Must have had a warrant out on him.
Probably. So
well, I've done a lot in my days, but I've never had anybody arrested on my boat. Goodness gracious.
Yeah, me either. That was a first for me.
All I thought. Good Lord.
Yeah, that was a first for me.
Yeah, I bet it was. Hope it's the last.
But, yeah, really.
Don't go with Lynn. All his customers get arrested.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it was a construction company, you know, and they had their hands down, you know, for a fishing trip. And
right.
I mean, he couldn't even speak English, you know. So, anyway, I'm sure he was illegal, because they were checking driver's licenses and everything. And I think they probably let him go the next day. You know, that was several years ago. They probably let him go the next day. But who knows? I don't know.
Oh.
But anyway,
man,
that was a real
boy,
experience.
How'd you like to get arrested for stabbing a shark in the head? I mean,
whew.
Did you see that guy in Florida? Did that happen
no.
too?
Really?
Some captain down in the Keys. Well, what made me research it is somebody posted it up on the Sicko page this morning, a guy getting arrested by two Florida wildlife agents. And what happened, this charter captain, he got arrested and charged with aggravated animal cruelty after a video surfaced online allegedly showing him repeatedly stabbing a bull shark in the head with a fillet knife.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, and he explained to his customers he did that because it was a method to deter other sharks from stealing their catch, because this had stole a fish from them or something, this bull shark, and it kept harassing them. So, anyway, and he admitted to it, $10,000 bond.
And, oh, my goodness.
Anyway.
Boy, howdy. Well, I hope we don't have that problem here.
Oh, and here's a little note that popped up on here now, too. It's important to note that Garrett, this guy's name, was also reportedly investigated for false representation, as he does not have the required license to be a captain.
Oh, okay.
So
a little more to it.
They killed two birds with one stone.
Uh-huh.
Animal cruelty and then chartering without a license, I'm sure. So he's in hot water.
Huh.
Yeah, don't kill the shark. We don't have enough of them.
No.
But you do it and put the video online, you're just asking for trouble.
I mean, gosh, yes.
That's not too intelligent.
Oh, my
goodness. A lot of
those
Florida guys do that. You know, we see a lot out of Florida here lately.
Huh.
I don't know what's in the water over there.
Oh, my goodness. Man, oh, man. Yeah. We got one guy here in Port O'Connor. I mean, he keeps those sharks. I mean, he'll bring them in. They fillet them.
Yeah.
And
a lot of guys do.
Yeah. I've seen him throw some, you know, 4 or 5 footers up there and fillet them out. And,
hey, get them all. Get your limit
every
day.
Yeah, I tell him.
Work on
it. I tell him. Yeah, you know, get them all. Kill them all. You know, cut them up. Big chunks. Yeah, big chunks. But he brought in a sharp tooth shark. It has the record, the world record now for sharp tooth sharks.
And
look that up.
Yeah, let's look
on
and
the
see.
State record. The state
check
record, I think, for sure.
Sharp tooth shark here, man.
Yeah. Yep.
There's
yep.
a fine tooth shark I'm seeing here.
I think it's called sharp tooth.
Now let me keep looking. There's a million of them on this page.
Oh.
Let's see here.
I think it's called sharp tooth.
You got the Atlantic sharp nose, big eye six gill, black nose, black tip, bull. Then you got the dusky shark, the fine tooth shark, lemon shark, nurse shark, sandbar.
Maybe it's the fine tooth.
It was
unusual for this shark to be here on the Gulf Coast.
This was caught in 1979 in the Gulf of Mexico by Richard Hensley. It was 80 1/4 inches long. It was 100 1/2 pounds.
This shark was caught a few years ago. But anyway, he caught it during the shark tournament in Port O'Connor. Mm-hmm. And anyway, he actually caught three of them, but the biggest one, it was a state record, and I think they took it to Austin,
right?
And certified it. But anyway, I forget. I think it was called sharp tooth. But anyway, and that was a state record. But he said it wasn't supposed to be in the Gulf. They normally catch them on the West Coast.
Maybe that's why it's not on this list.
Probably
because it's not you know, like a Gulf species.
Right.
Of course, I need to update this. I'm sure there's been some changes since I printed this off.
Well, I'll find out from him which shark it was. But when they had that shark tournament, it was funny. They caught that 13-foot tiger shark, and they brought him in. And they had it hung up, and he asked that guy, he said, did that shark have a steel leader certain inches long with a certain circle hook in him? He said, yeah.
I remember he said, telling we took me it out. About this.
Yeah. And he said, yeah. He said, how'd you know? He said, well, he pulled out his phone and showed the guy a picture of it. He said, I caught him last week at the jetties, and I released him. And he said, I was hoping to catch him for the tournament.
Hoping to catch him again. Uh-huh. Somebody else caught it.
Yeah. 13-foot tiger. Yeah. 13-foot tiger. Man.
Yeah, that's a big tiger.
I think they caught him at the hump. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
I think the state record tiger caught by a guy named Chap Kane. I've heard of him. But it was 1,129 pounds.
Oh, my goodness.
That's a man-eater.
That is.
That's a man-eater.
Oh. I tell you what, I've seen some good ones like that in the bay. You know. Make the hair on the back of your neck stand up.
Great hammerhead's 871, so that's bigger than a hammerhead. Man, 1,129 pounds. What a creature.
Oh, I'm telling you. I think I told you before, I was out of Sabine Pass with my dad and one of my uncles, I think it was. And we had gone out of Sabine Pass, and we were out about, 10 miles or so, one of the rigs out there. And my dad said, well, there's a reason the fish quit biting. And there was a greater hammerhead cruising around. And he came underneath our boat, and he was as long as the boat. I mean, that hammerhead was big. And he was so big. And when he came underneath the boat, I just moved away from the gunwale. You know, I didn't want to fall overboard. Oh, man, he was big. Man. I mean, that was a monster. You know. I love them, though. I love to see them with that big old tall spike dorsal fin. You know.
Yeah, they got that big spike dorsal fin, and then that tail fin sticks up too.
There's no mistaking them.
No, there's no mistaking a hammerhead when it surfaces, and you see that big spike, you know, dorsal fin, and it's about 8 feet to the tail fin.
Yeah,
that's a big one. That's a good.
No mistaking them. You know, I've seen them like that in the surf, and rubbing their belly on that sandbar looking for stingrays. You know.
Well, looking for turtles, too. Them from turtle-eating machines. Well, tiger sharks like those sea turtles, too.
Oh, yeah. They do.
That's why they get so shallow along our beaches.
Oh, I know. Well, those big old hammerheads, boy, they're man-eaters.
Turtles, baby.
Yeah, but the big old hammerheads, they're a man-eater, I guarantee you.
So, Lynn, make sure you don't go wading in the surf with your teenage ninja turtle suit on.
Yeah, don't wear a turtle suit. No, that's not real smart.
No.
That's what I don't understand about people that are scuba diving out on the West Coast with the black scuba diving suit. They look like a seal, you know.
And sitting on a surfboard with your arms and legs hanging over and to a shark looking up going, man, that's kind of seal looking. Or turtle.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah. And a great white, that's their main food source out there is a seal.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
duh.
That's, I'd be wearing a different color than seal skin.
Oh, man.
In a wetsuit.
Yeah. I don't think I'd be wearing a wetsuit. Although that water's awful cold.
You got in that water over there. It's cold, man.
It is cold. Yeah,
I don't have to worry about that anymore. Those days are over for me.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I was talking to a guy the other day in where we used to like to wade fish this time of year, and we'd catch a lot of big trout on top waters, and just it was just a great place to wade. That's where they were catching all those giant sharks and weighing them in that Texas City tackle time and all these tournaments around here. We'd have known that, we wouldn't have been wading there. And they're bringing in 700-800-pound sharks and weighing them in, and they're catching them out of the waters we're wading in. Stingrays, too, you know, 160, 180-pound stingrays.
Oh, man. So right. They're right in there with them.
Little old Galveston Bay, man.
Oh, they're there. They're right there with you, you know.
Yep, just like y'all's jetties. You never know what swims through there. Pascavala or the jetties. I mean, it's the entrance to the bay.
It would scare you to death if you knew it.
Yeah,
you know?
It really would.
I mean, it's crazy. And people just don't realize, but it's scary to death.
Yeah, it would.
But, you know,
I've had bull sharks put me in the boat before. I had one follow me like a puppy dog while I'm holding my fish out of the water. You know, when a tournament I was in, I just got as shallow as I could, and that thing was rubbing his belly on the bottom trying to get to me.
Oh, I had one put me up on the sand, you know. I mean, he followed me all the way up to the sand. I mean, I was backing up till I finally sat down on the sand, on the dry sand, and he cruised around out there waiting for me to come back.
Yeah.
You know.
I had an alligator do that to me one time, got between me and the boat, and then when I'd move one way, he'd go under where I didn't know where he was at. Finally, I just said, I'm going to the boat, and I just kept walking as fast as I could straight to the boat. And,
oh, man.
And then he popped up, you know, he moved out of my way. But it was a big one. I mean, 10-plus footer.
Oh, man.
That ain't good. I don't like that.
No. You know, I grew up with alligators in Port Arthur, all around me in Port Arthur, and they don't bother me until they get to about 10 feet.
Yeah, I don't trust them when they got a brain about the size of a pea. They're just run on pure instinct.
Right. When they get to about 10 footers, then they start to bother me.
Yeah, I'm not into that. All right, no. Lynn, well, I got to run, my friend. If somebody wants to call you about coming down to Port O'Connor and popping a wade with bull sharks, how they get a hold of you?
I can put them on them.
Hey, take them over to Greens or Cotton's and pop a wade, baby.
Oh, yeah, I can put them on them.
Yes,
yeah, they can give me at 361-935-6833.
All right, man. Lynn, have a good weekend. What's left of it, brother? Talk to you next week.
All right, man.
See you, man.
All right. Take care, Mick.
All right, buddy.
Bye.
All right. It's time for our top of the hour break and national anthem. And you're listening to the Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.